With a new budget deal overnight, the lights will stay on at the federal government through September. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After talk for weeks of a possible government shutdown, Congress has a new $1 trillion spending bill in hand this morning. It keeps the government going through the end of the current budget year, September 30th. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra is here with details. Marielle, what's the theme?
The bill is, in a word, bipartisan. Both sides get something out of it. For the Republicans, there's an additional $15 billion in defense spending and $1.5 billion set aside for border security. Notably, that money has to go toward new technology or repairs on existing infrastructure, like fencing. The bill doesn't put any money toward President Trump's proposed border wall. And then for the Democrats, there's $2 billion in new spending for the National Institutes of Health. The bill also avoids cuts to Planned Parenthood. That's been a point of contention. There's even something for New York City to be happy about here. Nearly $70 million in reimbursements to local law enforcement agencies that have protected the president. That wouldn't just be the NYPD. It would also include police departments in Florida, for instance, where Trump spends a lot of time.
Yeah, now it sounds like this, what, diverges sharply from President Trump's budget proposal and his priorities.
Yeah, Trump doesn't get a lot of the things he wanted. For a while, he was demanding a down payment on the border wall. He also wanted to block new grant funding from sanctuary cities. Those things aren't in here. And some of the cuts he proposed, like to the NIH, didn't make it into this bill either. But this is only a temporary funding bill. It goes until the end of the fiscal year. So the president will have another chance to negotiate come September.
What happens now?
Congress has to vote on the bill by the end of this week to avoid a government shutdown, and then the president decides whether to sign it.
All right. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, thank you. Should U.S.-based social media companies pay when police have to investigate hateful content, threats, or images of child abuse online? That's one suggestion from a committee in the British Parliament today, which says firms such as Facebook, Google, and Twitter are, quote, shamefully far from taking proper action to deal with corrosive online content. The BBC's Jonathan Blake has more from London.
This is not the first time social media companies have been criticised for failing to tackle illegal and inappropriate content. But the language of the Home Affairs Select Committee's report is strong. It says the repeated failure of Twitter, Facebook and Google to come up with better systems to remove terrorist recruitment videos and images of child abuse is a disgrace. The MPs acknowledge social media firms have taken measures to tackle the problem, but they say nowhere near enough is being done. The report suggests companies should be fined for not removing illegal content within a specified period of time, and it proposes firms should pay for the cost of police investigations into potentially illegal posts, similar to the model used in football, where clubs pay for policing around their stadiums on match days.
The BBC's Jonathan Blake. Here's a number. Apple's cash reserves, with the company due to report quarterly profits tomorrow. The Wall Street Journal's reporting Apple's estimated to have $250 billion, a quarter of $1 trillion on hand, most of it piled up overseas in part to keep U.S. taxes down. In the last month, we've been looking at what humans need to do with machines and software increasingly competing for jobs. Robot-Proof Jobs is our special three-part podcast series. Now, today, we sum it up with two numbers. A recent report by Forrester Research calculates that over the next 10 years, automation will create nearly 15 million jobs. Sadly, that's not the end of the story. The same report shows that automation, robots, algorithms will eliminate about 25 million jobs in America. J.P. Gounder, principal analyst at Forrester Research, says this is a big deal.
That leaves us with a net loss of 9.8 million jobs. That's about 7% of the workforce. And that is tantamount to the losses we saw during the Great Recession.
That's a big deal. The Great Recession all over again, just spread out.
Well, it certainly is. It's one of those boiling frog scenarios where you put the frog in the pot of water and you turn up the heat slowly and the frog doesn't realize until it's too late. And, you know, that is part of this equation. We have to have public policies and such that will help to make sure that other kinds of jobs fill in that gap. But it's also a call to arms for organizations to figure out exactly the mix of the kind of workers that they're going to need to be successful over time.
Well, what about retraining within companies? The financial services firm Accenture used technology to, it said, get rid of 17,000 jobs at that company, but it worked to keep all those employees on the payroll, doing something presumably better. Is that a model for us all?
In some cases, that works, and in others, it doesn't. Another very famous example is J.P. Morgan. In the year 2000, they employed 600 equity traders. Today, they employ two, but they hired 200 software engineers to build the kinds of systems that do the automatic trading on Wall Street. Now, unfortunately, you probably could not have retrained those equity traders to be software engineers. So it depends on the nature and mix of skills as to whether an organization can do that. One other point about that is that, in fact, some of the jobs may not be lost in the form of layoffs. They may simply never appear in the first place. Maybe there would have been more jobs at Accenture had they not involved automation, but those jobs didn't materialize.
Forrester Research Principal Analyst J.P. Gounder's report is subtitled, Automation Won't Destroy All the Jobs, But It Will Transform the Workforce, Including Yours. J.P., thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Check out our special podcast about what could be a bigger challenge than globalization for the American workforce, marketplace.org/robotproof, or scroll through the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed and look for the three robot-proof jobs shows. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.